What a blessing that it was to hear this morning. One thing I've had on my mind, seems like all week long, as we were trying to prepare to preach this morning and tonight, and it keeps coming back to my mind of a call that I got to go into a home where there had been a death of a young child. And the folks, not church-going people, and I was all they knew to call. And I went over and I tried to minister to them, but I knew there was no way that I could. I didn't have the words to say. I didn't know what to do. And started speaking to them about how wonderful the Lord was and how He's able to take that young mother and dad and those grandparents and touch their hearts, moved with compassion, and help them through such an event. It's all I could do was share those words with them. And the mother asked me, she said, "Preacher, do you think my baby's in heaven?" I said, "Oh, I know your baby's in heaven. I don't think it, I know it." Now, I looked at her immediately. It came to my heart to ask her, did she know that she would go to heaven if a like event would have happened to her? Would she ever see her child again? And she looked at me and she bowed her head and began to cry. And she said, "Preacher, I know I've never been saved. And I believe Jesus died and I want to be saved more than anything." And I looked at her husband. And he said, "I need to be saved too, preacher." I looked at the grandparents, and one of the grandmothers, she came bustling from across the room to that conversation, and she looked at me and she said, "Preacher, me too. I've got to get saved. I've been worried about this and struggled with this for years." Three of them saved, though in the midst of all that, there was a death of their loved one. But you see, God doesn't see things the way we see. We see that they've lost this wonderful possession on earth, and it led to their salvation, and it's wonderful, but God sees He's got four more in heaven. Four. He didn't just see three or just see, He saw four of them there. And I'm glad for a God who sees the big picture, aren't you? I'm glad for one who's able to be moved with compassion. When we hurt, He knows why we hurt and how we hurt. I want to look back in the book of Matthew, chapter number 9. We will be jumping around a little bit this morning. I'll be honest with you all, I really have three other outlines He gave me this week, three different messages He gave me this week. I've really wrestled with Him about wanting to preach one of those three. Maybe I'll get to preach one of them tonight. Maybe I'll get to preach one this afternoon. Who knows, before I get home. But the Lord keeps bringing my mind back to this. And I've wrestled with Him about it because I've used it before. And I said, "Lord, I want some new meat to give them." God says, "It'll be new to somebody there. You just preach." So today, Matthew chapter 9, verse number 35. Building on this thought that nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. So that family today, if they could stand before you, they'd tell you. The church didn't necessarily come by. Nobody cooked me a square meal. The preacher showed up when we called him, but he didn't necessarily come on his own, but I did go as I was called. Although it was a shocker to me that that had happened to him. But I guarantee they'd tell you that nobody ever cared for them like Jesus. And I want to say to you today, ain't nobody ever cared for me like Jesus either. Verse 35, if I can see to read. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd.
Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Our Father, this morning, as we bow our heads before you, Lord, we admit to you, Father, we're not all we're cracked up to be. We're just old sinner, hog-gut at best, but saved today by the precious blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you for that night you saw fit to speak to me. You'd spoken to me before and I wouldn't listen. I'd rejected and turned you away, but God, you came back one more time. I want to thank you for that this morning. Because nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Not my mama who loves me. Not my dad who loves me. Not my grandparents who prayed and loved me. But Jesus was the only one who was able to save me. And I'm thankful that in spite of who I was, you've loved me. And you've kept me. And you've blessed me. And I thank you so much. I pray you'd forgive our complaining, our murmuring, our worrying, and our fretting. And help us to understand that even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of the trial, nobody still ever has cared for us like Jesus. Father, today we ask your help as we stand to preach, for I cannot, but I know you can. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. You may say, preacher, why are you sitting up there crying the way you do? I ain't ashamed. I ain't ashamed this morning because he loved me. He loved me like nobody's ever loved me. I want to say this morning, first of all, that Jesus, he cares for the crying. I'm not necessarily standing here to try to get you motivated or emotional. But I want you to know that these folks, they were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. The Bible says that these people had fainted. They had wilted over because they, like all sheep, had gone astray. And there was no shepherd that would care for their soul. There was no shepherd that was praying for them. There was no shepherd that was protecting them. They had no special privileges being those sheep there because they had no shepherd. But my friend, when Jesus saw them, that they were the sheep that were astray, that they were out somewhere and the wolf was howling and the winds were assailing against them, there was one named Jesus who cared for them. And our Bible says that he was moved with compassion upon all those that fainted. Aren't you glad in the midnight hour when you were downtrodden and defeated, when you were despondent and ready to give up, that Jesus came in the middle of the night and caressed you and told you of his sweet love for you? When you picked up a portion of his word and began to read a copy of the word of God, somehow some verse in the middle of the hour, middle of the midnight hour of Psalms or of Matthew, it spoke tenderly to your heart and helped you through that event. I want to say to you today, God's word says to us, Jesus speaking, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I want to tell you what, Spruce Pine, you look up and down Mitchell, Avery County. These people going to hell in a handbasket all up and down the waysides and the highways of the byways of this community. And it seems like nowadays the church don't care anymore. It seems like people's no longer concerned. They want their way and want to give you their opinion. Nobody anymore wants to worry about what the Word of God says. But I'm glad when the church don't care. When my friends, the world don't care, that nobody cares for them like Jesus does. He still cares where they are. He still wants to help them and tenderly caress them and lift them up and save them. Jesus said, I didn't come into this world but to do this one thing, but to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad, thanks be to God, that nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. When I was crying, there he was to pick me up. You asked me this morning, what is the thing that concerns you most? I do not know what's inside your heart. I don't know what worries you or causes you to be upset or distressed. But you can be well assured today that Jesus knows what is inside your heart. What troubles you? What causes you the anxiety? What causes you to worry? What causes you to fret? And I want to say today, friend, Jesus cares for that situation in your life. He wants to treat it so tenderly. He wants to motivate you by love and wants to help you through these tough times. Nobody, my friend, will care about your situation like Jesus does. You ask this crowd that day that were fainted and were scattered abroad, thanks be unto God that the shepherd came by when we were scattered, when the harvest was plenteous. Thanks be unto God the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. He just happened by, amen. No, he came with a purpose, amen, to be their shepherd. I'm glad, thanks be unto God, he's my shepherd. That's what David said. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This crowd could say, I shall not want, because nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 14 now, if you would. Chapter 14. Verse number 14. I'm glad Jesus cares for the crying. Amen. He hears their cry. You may lay awake all night long and cry and cry and cry, and your husband or your wife never hear it. Your mom or your dad not know what's going on. You may feel like your cries are going unnoticed, but Jesus, He hears your cry. I'm glad He's heard our cry, aren't you? In Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 14, Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and He healed their sick. And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. They say unto Him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to His disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. They took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And when they had eaten, they were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Not only does Jesus care to hear our cry, but Jesus cares for the hungry. He knows those, my friend, that are starving, those that are needy, those that are desirous of something to eat. And they began to search out amongst the disciples, and they had a few loaves and a few fishes. But it wasn't enough amongst that many people there, at least 5,000 men, not to count all the children and all the women that were there. But Jesus said, you bring them to me. You may feel like what you have to offer is very little, and it's just not enough. I want to say to you, I know what I have is not enough. But when I put it in the hands of Jesus, oh, He's more than able to take it, amen, and feed the hungry. He took those loaves and fishes and gave thanks, my friend, and dispersed it amongst His disciples and said, go and feed them. And they fed the multitude until they were all filled, my friend. And then they took up the fragments that were left over. The word in the Greek is the word kaphenos. It's the word we get coffin from. They had enough fragments left over for 12 basket-sized coffins full of fragments left over. You couldn't have filled 12 basket coffins full of 5 loaves and 2 fishes to start with, much less after everybody ate. But when it's put in the hands of Jesus, He cares for the stomachs that are growling. I want to say, spiritually speaking, He cares for somebody who wants to hear the Word of God. There's a people that want to hear the Word of God. God will make sure that they get the Word of God declared unto them. He said, the harvest, my friend, is plenteous, and we ought to desire the Lord of the harvest that He'll send forth the laborers out into the harvest. And my friend, that the sheep might hear the Word of God, and that the hungry might be fed. The Bethel Baptist Church this morning, I declare unto you, you'd better stay hungry. You'd better want something from the Word of God, something from the house of God, something from God Himself, because when you get satisfied and you get full and you push back away from His table and you turn the world and turn to all these other things, God will make sure that He allows hunger to come back in your life again. You know what it's like to be hungry, seeking something to eat, wanting the Word of God, something to saturate your soul, something to fill your hunger, something to take care of that longing for the Word of God. Listen, I've been there. I know what it's like to come in and sit down on a pew and say, oh God, I need to hear from heaven today. and sit down in some churches and they're a million miles away from God. They call themselves a church, but the preacher won't preach, the choir won't sing, the teachers won't teach, the deacons won't deek. My friend, nobody wants to pray. They want to have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Come in and pretend to have church. Never worship the Lord and Savior Amen. Jesus Christ. I tell you what, a lot of churches, we ought to just take our signs down where it says worship at 11 o'clock and just say service at 11 o'clock. Because we're not having worship, amen? God's wanting people to be hungry. He said He'd feed the hungry. I'd been preaching over in Madison County and man, we'd had a great meeting that week. And on about Thursday night, the Lord had anchored me down on these verses. And I got to spend a whole message of about 45 minutes on these verses. And man, what a service we had. How God had blessed. And I'm not talking about my preaching. I'm talking about God got in that service and people filled that altar and the power of God fell all over the place. I'm telling you, it's just about afraid to leave and go home. Finally, at about 11 o'clock. Yeah, 11 o'clock, they stayed testifying, praising God. I'd sit down by 8. I was there 3 hours listening to them shout and praise the Lord. Just bless me to death, amen. That was the baskets coming back in as far as I was concerned. I went and got in my car at 11 o'clock and headed home. And I got to the house and I said, God, now what am I going to do? I'm telling you, I've never been in such a service like that and didn't seem like in all my life. And I said, Lord, now what am I going to do? And God said, I want you to turn over to Matthew 15. Will you go there with me? I said, Lord, I'm telling you, that was the best service. And tomorrow night for Friday night will be a letdown if something don't happen again. God, what am I going to do? God, I can't do nothing but turn to you. What am I going to do? God said, you read Matthew 15, verse number 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? They said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to all his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men besides women and children. I read that and I said, God, I just preached this similar in chapter 14. God said, you're missing a point. I can do it again. Woo! I'm telling you, I'll come back locked and loaded on Friday night and preached in Matthew 15. And you know what happened? He did it again. I'm telling you, it's 11 o'clock when we got out of there again. He cares about the hungry. And my friend, when you get satisfied and you get failed, there'll come a time you'll get hungry again, amen. And you know what he'll do? He'll feed you again. Hey, bless his holy name for that, amen. If you'll look with me now, Matthew chapter number 20. Go with me there. Verse number 29. Jesus cares to hear the crying. Jesus cares for the hungry. And I want to say to you, He cares to heal those that are sick. You ever had an infirmity? You ever had a disease or a pestilence? I'm telling you, about 2 years ago or so, y'all knew I was sick. I didn't know where to go. I'd been praying, seeking God's face. I was so sick I couldn't read. I was so sick I didn't feel like I could pray. And I knew God's people was praying for me. I knew that God cared for me. And I knew if I got better, it'd be because of Jesus and His healing touch. In this chapter, verse 29, as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, 2 blind men sitting by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion. You'll find that word compassion in the message this morning. Time and time again, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received strength and they followed him. Jesus cared enough about these that were blind that he would come and touch them and the blind received their sight. Let me tell you what. They didn't make them out 6 months to determine whether they were healed or not. When Jesus touched them, they were healed instantaneously. Right then and there, they were made whole. Their eyes received sight. Ain't you glad that night, spiritually speaking, when you were sick with sin and on your way to a devil's hell, that when Jesus passed by and you called on Him, that He reached out and touched your sin, took it away, washed in the precious blood, brought healing to your soul. Hallelujah. Instantaneously, right then and there, you were made a child of the King. I'm telling you, nobody is able to touch you spiritually and save your soul. You may say you'll get it in some priest. I'll say no, you won't. You may say I'll get it in Mary. I'll say the Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. He cared to heal my infirmities. He cared to heal my soul. Amen. I got to move on. Book of Matthew chapter 23. Preacher, we're getting the point. We're getting the point. No, I'm not done yet. Matthew 23 verse number 37. Jesus cares to hold the hurting. Have you ever been hurting? Have you ever been concerned? Have you ever been broken? Have you ever believed the wrong thing? Amen. You ever been betrayed? You ever had someone who's really, really close to you? My friend, they betrayed you, turned their back on you, and then laughed about it after they'd done it. My friend, it hurts. Verse 37, Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Jesus, my friend, He had been betrayed. He had been turned against. My friend, He looks down at the Jews who He had been sent to, who had rejected Him, who had spurned Him, who had mocked Him, and who had betrayed Him. He looked at them and said, oh, I believe he began to weep over them and began to say, oh, how I'd like to have took you under my arms and held you there to keep you safe. I remember when I was a little boy growing up in that little old single wide trailer. I'm telling you, the lightning storms would get fierce. I'd get afraid. I mean, I just felt like that metal was a-popping all around us all the time and feel the ground shake as the thunder was so violent. I was afraid. I was so afraid, and I felt like I was even hurting. I didn't know what I was going to do, so I ran to my daddy. My daddy picked me up as a little boy. And he didn't push me away and said, oh, son, grow up and get tough. He didn't go shut me up in my bedroom and lock me there and say, son, you figured out. No. My daddy picked me up, and he put me in his arms, and he held me, and he rocked me, and he caressed me. I was even probably 6 years old, and he held me like that. And I'm telling you, there was something about hearing his heartbeat with my little ear pressed up against it that made the storm seem so far away. I'm glad when the storms of our life comes, we get to hurting, we feel harmed and defeated. We can go down to an old-fashioned altar, maybe beside our bed or down to this old-fashioned altar, this church. We can get on our face and say, oh, God, I've been rejected. I've been betrayed. The storms of life have come against me. Oh, Lord, You said You wanted to hold Jerusalem like chickens under, like little chicks under Your wings. Lord, I will enter again under the shadow of the Most High, and it'd be His pleasure to take His gentle arms of mercy and compassion and pick us up and hold us till the storm passes by. Amen. I'm glad, my friends, there's nobody like Jesus to care for us and to pick us up. When I go tell Him how I feel, I might go tell some of you and you go tell somebody else. I might go tell some of you and you laugh about it. But when I go tell Him what's most tender to my heart, He hears me. And He says, come to me. And He picks me up. He just helps me through it. Thanks be unto His name. The Bible says in verse 38, behold, your house is left unto you desolate because they rejected Him. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I can't hardly preach for crying, but I will say this today. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I'm thankful to see the man of God that preaches. I'm thankful to hear the word of God that's declared in their soul. But there's one coming named Jesus who's going to rapture us home and take us from this place. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He's the one who cares for me. And he's the one, he cares enough to come back.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm almost done. Mark chapter number 1. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, saying unto him, verse number 40, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. I'm glad that Jesus cares enough to lend a hand or extend a hand to the helpless. Amen. This leper, my friend, had to stand outside the city. Anybody he saw outside the city, he'd have to start hollering, unclean, unclean, to warn them to stay away from him. He couldn't come in contact with his little children and hold them no more. He couldn't come in contact with his wife. He couldn't sit down at the table and have a meal that she had cooked anymore. He could not be around the family because sin will separate and divide a family. My friend Jesus was out that day, and the Bible tells us that the leper came to him and said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus looked at him, and he said, I will, be thou clean. What he did was he reached out his hand, and he touched him. You can take leprosy and catch it by the touch. If you touch somebody else that's got leprosy, you would pick it up for sure. But my friend, there's one named Jesus who cares enough to stick out his hand and touch those that are unclean and cause them to be clean. I'm glad when the preacher couldn't save me, when the deacons couldn't pray me in, that Jesus came by, amen, and he touched my leprous soul and he saved me completely. I want to say, my friend, he's got a hand that's able to help you. A hand, my friend, that's big enough to touch you and change your circumstances. Where I used to pastor, God had me start taking that scripture there out of the book of Isaiah, I believe it is, about how he measured the waters in his hand. And I stood at the sink there and I was putting water in my hand, and my wife came by and she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to figure out how much water my hand will hold. And I figured out my hand would hold almost 2 tablespoons of water before it began to slosh over the webbing of my fingers and out of my hand. I'm telling you, all I can handle is about 2 tablespoons of water. I can't handle a whole lot, y'all. But I've got a God who's big enough. He measured the Indian Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean. My friend, he measured out the Mediterranean Sea and the mud hole in your front yard and the one in mine. And every one of these droplets of rain that's come this way today, they've all been measured in his hand. He's got a hand big enough to heal, a hand big enough to help, a hand big enough to change your circumstances. Do you believe me today? Do you believe me today? Listen, nobody else can do that for you. Nobody. But Jesus cares enough to change and alter your situation. Hallelujah. Last one, I'm done. The book of Luke, and we'll try to tie this all together. The book of Luke, chapter 7, verse number 11. It came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. See her situation? Her boy is dead. Her husband's already passed on. She has no one else to care for her. No one else to help bring an income in that she might have food in the future. Nobody else. Now there's much people with her. She's got a lot of friends. She's got a lot of relatives. But they'll not change her situation. She's going to find out nobody cares for her like Jesus. She's got a lot of people with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Now that could be taken, weep not, as some wonderful words that, listen, don't weep, lady. Your son's in paradise. He's going to be with me. And that was all true, and it was very, very wonderful. He'd have been spiritual if he'd have just said that. But he didn't just mean that your son's already in paradise, weep not. One day you'll get to see him again. He says, lady, weep not, because I know that down the road you're going to be struggling, you're going to be hungry, you're going to need help. And I know that I can change this situation. I'm going to raise this boy to life. Weep not. Hey, you know what? Look at me. There's a lot of you today that say, you know what? I know somewhere out there in the distant future, I know God's going to help me and see me through because I've trusted Him. I believe that. But the problem is most of us don't believe He wants to help us today. Right where you stand, right in your situation, He wants to help you right now. You say, well, I don't know. I mean, hey, hear me. Ain't nobody cares for you like Jesus. Nobody. He came and He touched the buyer. They that bear Him stood still. And that buyer is nothing more than a funeral couch. And they've already had the funeral and said the nice words. And now they're having the funeral procession. And they're on their way to the grave. And Brother Mays Jackson said, that's the hardest thing to do is follow a loved one to the grave. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Now Jesus could have took this boy with Him to be one of His disciples. But no, He knew his mama would be in need of him. So He sent him back to his mama. Amazing, is it not, that he which was dead after he was raised symbolizes your getting saved. When you got saved, He wants you to sit up. Just make a stand for Jesus. And the Bible says He even spoke. He wants you to witness and testify about Jesus. Friends, today, that little widow woman down there at Nain, she'd stop and she'd say, you know, I had a lot of friends, a lot of company, a lot of people weeping and grieving and sorrowful with me, but nobody cared for me like Jesus. He took my dead child and raised him again because He was concerned for my soul and for my future. That's why Jesus did it. He was moved with compassion. I want to tell you today, there's a little family that had their little child taken from their home for whatever reason. If I stood them here today, they'd say, y'all, you'd cry to hear their sorrowful story. But then they'd say, nobody ever cared for us like Jesus. And He saw fit to save us. And we're going to see that loved one again. You hear me today? Jesus had taken them. When death came to that little family there that I spoke of when I started. When death came, they were going to never see that loved one again. They were going to hell. And He had gone to heaven. But Jesus came by. Moved with compassion and changed their situation. Now today, if you'd stand with me, that's the message God's laid on my heart. Your heads are bowed. There's nobody looking. Friend, what is it today that worries you? What is it you're fretting about? Is it for your daughter? Is it for your wife? Is it for your husband? Is it for some situation, some job, situations out of control? Maybe you got a loved one on their way to hell that needs to be saved. I do not know what your situation is, but there's some trial, some worry, some fret. God said today, I want you to come this altar. And I want you to just bow on your knees and just tell Him this one thing. I'm thankful for Jesus because nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. And I know my situation today. He cares for me. And I want to bring my worry. I want to bring my concern. I know He can turn it around. I know He can change it. And I want today to pour my heart out and say, Lord, I thank You. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. He's able to mend the broken and heal the sick, raise the dead and save the soul that's nearest hell. Thank You today for Your love and Your compassion. Jesus.